Hi, and welcome back to another episode of Unicorns Do Exist. I am your host, Vanessa. I'm so excited to have you here today because I got a great episode for you. I want to talk about something that some people are comfortable with, some people are not. I have two topics today, money and sex. Some people are comfortable with one and not the other, and vice versa. I say we start with money. I want to talk about why or when or whoever said that wanting money was a bad thing. Who put it in our head that wanting to be rich or a millionaire or a billionaire is bad? And I try to think of, like, my, once again, my own scenario. I was raised and it was always like, don't be greedy, don't want too much, don't want this, don't want that. And I don't think that was the best way to raise me. You see it in movies too. The rich person's always the mean one, or the rich people are the ugly ones. And I don't think that's true. There's a lot of rich people who are genuinely good people. And money somehow became like a bad thing, a tabooed thing. Saying I love money was bad, but if I say I love my son is okay, or I love pizza. I don't like pizza, but I love watermelons, for example. I love watermelon. Watermelon is my favorite. I can never get enough of watermelon. And that's okay to say, but saying I love money is not. I can never get enough of money is somehow bad. But that's absolutely not true, because money is just energy. Money is just a tool that you use to do what you want to do in life, to get where you want to get to in life. I have learned to heal my relationship with money. I've been in places where I had no money and I've been in debt, crazy amount of debt, and I didn't like it, honestly. And then I've felt where I was like, not rich, but I have enough to do what I want whenever I want with whoever I want. And that's always been my goal. And at the same time, the way the world is right now, we need to get more money in the hands of good, kind-hearted people so we can do better in this world. For example, if I had more money, I could donate more to the children in Gaza. I donate to the turtles, I donate to Gaza, I donate to different things that I love and that I am passionate about. But if I had more, I could do more. And so I almost feel guilty that I'm not rich, as I should be. Like, it's our responsibility to be able to have enough money to take care of our kids. I'm not saying everyone should want to be rich. No, that's not what I'm saying at all. What I'm saying is that if you do want to, you shouldn't be ashamed of it. If you do want to acquire lots of wealth, it's okay. As long as you know that you're doing it for a good reason. If all you want is money, 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 because you think money's going to make you happy, then no, that's not what I'm saying either. That's not the point. Growing up, I've always thought I was a very kind human. And for a while, talking about money made me uncomfortable, because I grew up in a household where, you know, no le pidas a nadie, y no seas pediche. As long as you have enough to eat, as long as we have enough to have a roof over our head, as long as we have enough to pay the bills, that was enough. Don't ask for more. But I've come to realize that that's not necessarily the way it should be. God doesn't want you to be limited. The way I understand God, the way I understand God loves me, is God wants to give me everything. He's my father, right? I'm a child of God, so therefore I deserve the world. And I'm not saying it in a egotistic kind of way. It's more of like, the more I have, the more I can give, the more I can do. Having a podcast requires money. Starting anything requires money. And I think it's your responsibility to have the tools that you need to be able to live your life fully, to be able to live a fulfilled life. For example, like people that want to go to school, you need money. If you want to start a business, you need money. If you want to change anything in the world, you need money. Money is just a tool. And once you see it that way, it's easier to let it in. I always worked my entire life. Growing up, my dad was known to have money, but in the streets, not at home. Like, he was known to vi Roberto Ruiz, todo lo paga Roberto Ruiz. Y tenía el... Tenía la, like, just the reputation. Nomás tenía la pura reputación de que Don Billetes. But honestly, he was the kind of person that lived like, I have a bunch of money and then I spend it all and then I have nothing and then I am broke and then I have a lot of money and then I have nothing and then I'm broke. I feel like I have the same pattern, honestly, that my dad, to a certain point, I find myself having the same pattern. Because when we have the money, I love it, I want to spend it, and I want to give it away, and I do. And then when I don't have the money, I still want to spend it, give it away, and I don't have it. But it doesn't really change the way I live, unfortunately. I didn't realize that until I started selling cars and actually making like $8,000, $10,000 a month, that the people selling cars, they were so good at wanting more money or saying that I want the bigger deal, I want the best deal, I want this, I want to make this much, I want to make that much. And I was like, oh my God, they're so greedy. Oh my God, that sounds so bad. But I was like, does it really though? Because saying I want to make less is not better. Like that doesn't make them less or better than me. So it was not even about the money itself. It was about the person. And so I had to quickly heal my relationship with money so that I could actually save money, so that I could actually invest, so I could make a difference for my family. And so one of the books that I started with was, I think it was Jensen Schettel. It's called You're a Badass at Making Money. That book really helped me understand like, that it's one, okay to want money. It doesn't make you evil. It doesn't make you bad. Two, why it is that you can't hold on to it, or why it is that I have a tricky relationship with it. I realized that money is an energy. The way you talk about it, the things you say, the way you treat it is the same way money's going to treat you. You have to think of money like a relationship. And so if you want more money, for example, but you always talk about, yeah, it says You're a Badass at Making Money by Jen Sincero. If you are, for example, saying, oh, rich people are snobs, or, oh, I hate rich people, what you're telling the universe is that you don't ever want to be rich because you don't want to be a bad person. Or you never want to be rich because you don't want to be a snob. Even though you're like, I would love $1,000. I would love $1 million. I would love to be a millionaire. Yet at the same time, you hold the belief that all rich people are evil. Well, then you're never going to be able to be rich because you don't want to be evil. So changing that concept myself and learning to talk about money differently is what's been able to help me so far to make more money, travel, invest in what I want, live the way I want, be able to help my mom, be able to give more money back. And at the same time, I realized that money is not going to change people. Money is going to make you more of who you truly are. So if you truly are someone who is just greedy, more money is not going to change that. You're just always going to be greedy. There's never going to be enough for you. If you're someone who's giving, kind, money is only going to help you do more kind things and be able to give more. That's why it's your responsibility, especially now that I'm a mom. It's my responsibility to be able to provide for my baby, have a home, have a car, all these little things that are necessary to have the type of life that I want to give him and have the type of life that I want to have. Yet, growing up with parents who keep telling you not to be greedy, not to want more than what you should have, which then again, what is that? Makes it hard for you to, you know, break the cycle or break those thoughts where like, well, if I want more money, I must be greedy. Or if I want more money, it must be wrong. Because that's what our parents were taught. When you go to church, they say like, you have to be humble. Well, there's rich people who are very humble. Being humble has nothing to do with your bank account. Being humble has nothing to do with how much money you earn. They're not correlated, yet people want you to believe that they are. And I feel like they teach you these things or to keep you suppressed almost to a certain point, to not want more, because then they make you feel guilty. So first thing I had to do was get that out of my mind. I'm kind because I'm kind, regardless of how much money I make. I'm a good human because I'm a good human, regardless of how much money I make. once I got that out of my head, okay, I'm like, now let's start talking to money like it's a friend. And just like you wouldn't hang out with someone that calls you ugly, that doesn't really love you, that doesn't believe in you, money's not going to want to hang out with you. So that was another thing I had to do. I had to sit down and write a letter. In the book, Jen talks about writing a letter to money and being honest with it. How does it truly make you feel? If I say money is the blank and you finish the sentence by the root of all evil, well, no wonder you're broke. Because your belief is not going to let you have something that you don't believe you deserve or you don't want. So my thing from practice was, I love money and money loves me. Money is abundant. See the little switch? Instead of money is the... By the way, that quote is wrong. It's, for the love of money only is the root of all evil. It's okay to love money. Once you learn that, money's going to love you back. Money's going to want to hang out with you. Money's going to want to come into you. At the same time, if you don't know how to take care of your money, you don't know how to treat it, you don't know how to invest it, why would I come to you? If you don't know how to take care of me, you don't know how to treat me, why am I going to want to be with you? It's the same thing. So learning that money is just an energy, taking any sort of negative beliefs or anything like that away from it really helped me understand how to heal my journey with money. From there, I started allowing myself to dream. Like, it would be so cool if someone gave me a cup of coffee. Or it'd be amazing if I made an extra $5,000. Or it'd be so cool if I made an extra $500. Allowing myself to think that way. And from there, I could find solutions, or I could see opportunities on how to do it. If you keep saying money is hard to come by, money doesn't go on trees, which is, that was my dad's favorite, which it does, by the way. Money's paper. Paper is made by trees. So money does grow on trees, you know? And learning that money is easy. Money comes easily and frequently in great amounts. Money wants to support you. God wants to support you. God wants to give you everything that you believe you deserve and you can have. So money is one of them. So I think shifting all these thoughts and practice. Once again, just like anything, it takes time. I was 25 when I started wanting to make more money and actually healing my relationship with money. Imagine 25 years of hearing my dad say money doesn't grow on trees. There's never enough. My parents fighting over money. All those things I had in my childhood were not going to go away overnight. It was learning that practice and how to heal that. Takes time. But wanting to do it, being aware is the first thing. Second of all, knowing that you want to see things differently and then going back and changing it. So one thing I really love also by her name is Amanda Francis. She has a book about money. It's called Rich as Fuck by Amanda Francis. She literally goes into uncovering your negative beliefs, pretty much like dropping your motherfucking money struggle. Whatever you were taught growing up, uncover it. What's your first memory of money? How does it make you feel? And then going back to it, for me, it was my parents fighting or my dad saying there was never enough. And then I would be like, okay, well, is that the ultimate truth? No, it's not. That was their truth. That's what they believed. Doesn't mean it has to be what I believe. But what belief do I want to have instead? Well, I want to believe that money comes easily and in great amounts. Perfect. Start rehearsing that. Yes, there's other things I have to do. For example, get a savings account. But first, before you can ever even start truly saving and being able to hold on to it, is fixing your beliefs about it. Number one, you deserve it. You can have anything you want in life. Number two, it's not bad. It's not evil. It's just an energy. And it's going to help you do more of what you truly want in life. Whether it's give, invest, whatever it is you want to create. Perfect. And then finally, doing the actual little work. Okay, well, this is how much I need for this. This is how much I need for that. Actually getting clear on your expenses. This is the one I have the hardest time with. Yes and no, because I believe that I'm always taken care of. And that is true. I'm always taken care of no matter what. I'm very, very blessed and very grateful that that's always been the case. Even when I was little. And we'll get into that too. But getting clear on your expenses and then getting clear on how much you want to make. And then letting yourself dream and think of possibilities to do it. If it is talking to your boss, showing up and doing a little extra work here and there and just saying, hey, by the way, I'm an asset to the team. I'm an asset to the business. Then you can go in there and actually ask for a raise. But first, you need to show up as the person that deserves it. Like, embody that. So another thing that I've talked to my mom about, because I've heard it from her the most, as long as there's enough to eat, as long as there's enough to have a roof over their head, as long as there's enough to pay the bills. I've always heard that. And I hear a lot of Hispanic women say that. God listens to everything you say, right? And if God wants to give you whatever you want and whatever you pray for, it's a form of prayer, then guess what happens? There's always enough to eat. There's always enough for the bills. There's always enough for roof over your head. Haven't you noticed that? There's always just enough. So imagine what would happen if you said, if only there was enough to travel, if only there was enough to invest, if only there was enough to save, give. It takes the same amount of energy to say both phrases. And God is going to hear what you're saying. Don't you think you're going to be able to elevate yourself? I would say try it. Give it a try. Tell me what you think. I remember when I first moved here to this apartment, I hadn't changed my address yet. I hadn't done any of that. But I also didn't have a job. And I was scared. I'm not going to lie. I wasn't scared because I knew God always has my back. But I was a little apprehensive. Like, oh my God, Vanessa, okay, we're going to do this, right? I was like, what am I going to do for work? I was just starting the social media thing. It's not really making much, but I'm still moving into this apartment. I have my savings. I'm going to figure it out. And I was like, you know what? I love receiving money from unexpected places. I love receiving money in unexpected ways. I'm going to receive money in unexpected ways. And I just kept thinking of that, right? And so that's when I got the book, Amanda Francis, Rich as Fuck. And literally like 3 days after moving into this apartment, I was like, let me check the mail, right? There's a guy in The Secret that says, I get checks in the mail. I like to get money in the mail. And I wasn't expecting a check. I just moved here. I go to the mailbox. I open the mailbox. And there's like, you know when they send you a survey? Like, hey, here's a dollar if you fill this survey out and send it back. There was a dollar in there. And that was confirmation enough for me to be like, hell yeah, I got this. I'm like, okay, God, thank you. You're listening. I needed a sign to continue believing because it's not always easy. Manifesting is not for the faint of heart. You truly, truly have to be like, cierro los ojos y que sea lo que Dios quiera. Kind of like Jesus, take the wheel. And I just laughed. I giggled and I'm like, oh, why did I even doubt it? Like, why did I even question it? Thank God it's been a year and 3 months. We're still here. I'm looking for a third bedroom because my son is getting older. How do you do it, Vanessa? I believe that I can. I believe that there's always going to be enough to save, invest, travel. Maybe I should slow down with the credit cards. But other than that, I truly believe that that is what has gotten me this far in life. I have an associate's degree in nutrition. I don't have like a major degree or nothing like that. I just love being with my son. And I feel like God knows where my heart is, and therefore I will always be taken care of. Yes, he has a great other mom that is a great provider as well. Like, that's never been a question. I've never had to worry about that. I've practiced trust so much that now I don't worry. And I'm not saying I don't worry all the time. I do. There's times where I do start to get shaky with the divorce, the attorney, all of that stuff. Sometimes I'm like, I don't know how I'm going to do it, but I'm going to do it. I'm going to figure it out. Getting an attorney, the retainer was expensive, and I somehow had the money and I was able to do it. We're still currently battling all that, but I know in the bottom of my heart that no matter what happens, everything's going to be okay. No matter how it ends, my son's always going to be taken care of. And that is the main thing for me. That's all I care about. So, yeah, that's with that said, I hope you guys like the practices. Try saying it, even try it right now. If saying I love money makes you nauseous or sick, or you can't even say it because that was me in the beginning, then you know that you need to practice healing your relationship with money. Because you're never going to be able to be wealthy or rich or allow yourself to have it all if you can't even say I love money and money loves me. There is nothing wrong with that. God is listening to what you have to say and what you truly want. He can't give you something you don't believe you deserve. There you go. God cannot give you something you don't believe you deserve. He doesn't override your free will. Your free will is to believe that you deserve it all. Let's see what other money ideas and practices I have. Like, for example, when I was younger, I used to work at the Marriott, the JW, and I would see everybody that stayed there, and I thought it was such a fancy hotel, and it's so beautiful. I was never jealous of them. I was always like, oh my God, I can't wait till I get to travel and go in a hotel. Or, oh my God, I can't wait to travel and, like, stay at a beautiful resort. And just allowing myself to dream that. And then when I had enough money, my best friend, we would book rooms with the membership discount, and we would try to find, like, the prettiest ones and just, like, oh yeah, we belong here, and put ourselves in these beautiful resorts so that our mind could be like, oh my God, look how much more there's out there in this world, like expanding your mind. Even after I stopped working at the resort, I would sneak into the pool and just lay there and pretend I was a guest. Hopefully they don't catch me. Go to the pool and sneak in and just lay there and order a drink. Because, I mean, I couldn't afford to stay there, but I could afford to buy a drink and just pretend like I was a guest. Literally just bring my swimsuit, some shorts, and just hang out by the pool and allow myself to dream. Put myself in those scenarios where my mind can get expanded so that I could see and want more. Little things like that. Flying first class. I had enough points. We were going to Dallas to see a UFC fight. We were going to Houston to see a UFC fight. And I remember thinking, I have enough points to upgrade to first class. When I was traveling on my own, they upgraded me to first class. And I thought it was like the coolest thing ever. Because as soon as you sit down, they give you a drink. I was like, yes, this I love. I don't have to wait for them to come, you know, once we're in the air. Like the moment I sat down, I had a mimosa. I was like, oh my God, I love first class. And so it goes in my mind that I wanted my ex to experience it too. And so when we went to see the UFC fight, it was for her birthday. And I was like, you know what, fuck it. I'm going to upgrade to first class because I want her to experience it. Because it's honestly, it's a great experience. And once you put yourself in that place, you're going to do whatever it takes to do it again. And now I'm going to strive for first class all the time. As soon as we got on the flight, they told her, the coolest part is you're going to get a drink right away. She loved it. It was a great experience, and now I like to travel as nice as possible because that's my new standard. You also have to raise your standards, so you get what you tolerate in life. If you think flying the cheapest way is what you can afford, then that's what you're going to always get, but not until you start believing, well, now I can do X, Y, and Z. Like, now I wanted this. Now I'm going to have this. That's a new standard. The only way it's going to move is by you putting yourself in those scenarios. And I'm not saying get in debt or fly first class. Not at all. But you can do something like, well, now I'm going to go to Whole Foods, for example. Or now I'm not going to buy a brand store. Now I'm going to buy the actual brand that you like. Things like that. It can be something as small as that. But pushing yourself to expand little by little and trusting that God's got your back, and then doing it over and over and over. When I first moved out, I was still traveling with my best friend. We stayed at little Marriott's. We split the bill. I think the room was like $50 and we split it, kind of thing. But we were doing things to expand our mind. Even then, I think I was making $300 a week working at Starbucks. I had my apartment, I had a car, I got to travel with my friend, and we believed that we could, so we did. That literally was it. Yes, granted, my best friend had her parents and stuff like that, but I never really felt like I could rely on my parents. Not since I started working when I was 16 years old. I was a lifeguard. That was the only job I could get because I was certified. Ever since I started working, I never really asked my parents for money. To this day, my mom doesn't give me money. If my mom goes with me anywhere, she doesn't pay. That's the difference between, like, I think Hispanic cultures and American cultures. Once you make money, your parents are not paying for anything. I don't think my mom's ever paid since I was 20. So that is my spiel with money. More of us deserve to have it. More kind-hearted people deserve to make it so we can actually change this world for the better. So don't be afraid to want more. Don't be afraid to let yourself dream of the possibilities that can come your way. Because you honestly deserve it. You owe it to yourself. Here's a couple of books you should read. For my ladies, You're a Badass at Making Money by Jen Cincinnato. Amanda Francis, You're Rich as Fuck. Gabby Bernstein, The Universe Got Your Back. And Napoleon Hill, hold on, let me make sure I have the right name. Think and Grow Rich. There you go. Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. That is another one. I listen to it. I like to listen to my books. These are all books that have helped me continue to expand my mind into what is possible, into what I deserve. And healing past beliefs. Everyone has different beliefs. Like I said, money used to scare me. Talking about it scared me. Asking for more scared me. Made me feel like icky or gross or like I was being greedy. I realized that is not the case. That's not the case at all. You deserve it all. And so I hope that helps. That is my little money talk. If you guys have any questions, please let me know. I want to do a episode where I just answer your questions because I do talk a lot. I know a big topic is dating after divorce. And honestly, I find that my mom also has a big influence with me when it comes to this. They were separated over 17 years ago and never did she ever bring another man into her house. I met a guy she talked for a little bit. But even when I encouraged her to date, she just doesn't feel like she has the right to. Since my brother is still 17, he hasn't gone to college yet, and she feels like not yet. And honestly, it's hard to think differently than her. Yes, my son is 2, and no one's ever met my son that way. Have I gone on a date? I'm gonna say no. No, I have not gone on a date since this episode. Just since I was separated, I have not been on a like romantic date, for example. Yes, I go out. Yes, I have friends. But being a mom is my number one priority. Not that it's right or wrong. It's everyone does their own thing. I just saw a reel where high school kids are graduating and they switch their last name to their step parent. And it's very beautiful. It's very emotional. And I know there's great, amazing step parents out there. I just haven't seen it. I just didn't grow up that way. So it's taking me a little longer to wrap my mind around it, especially bringing, let's say, someone else into our home or having my son move into someone else's home. Maybe it's part of my healing journey, but that's just something I still haven't been able to get myself around. I mean, again, at the same time, it's only been 1 year and 3 months. But who's counting? No, it's a little bit over a year. And I'm so happy with the way things are right now that I don't think I have the mental worth capacity of that. I want my son to be able to do whatever he wants in his home without anyone ever telling him anything. And at the same time, I know it's not fair, for example, my partner that comes in to the dynamic of my son and I, for them to not be able to say anything, yet I want them to support us kind of thing. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's not, there's just so much to say, and everyone has their own beliefs. I personally don't think I would introduce my son to anyone for a long time. So I guess for me, it's been challenging to understand, like, how do you date after having a child? How does that scenario look like or the dynamic. And I do find myself having a challenge with it, in the sense I am more resistant to meeting anyone or bringing anyone into my son's life, bringing anyone around my family. Where before I was very open, like, yeah, come over. Yeah, come over. Like, oh, meet my mom, meet my sisters, meet my family. Because there was just a sense of comfort. And now I don't feel like I have the right to do that. To this day, my son is never, I mean, he's only two. And like I said, it doesn't really matter, I think, at this point, because he's so young. But never have I brought anyone around my son that I could potentially date or talk to, in a sense like that. I've never really allowed myself to think of relationships because I feel like I'm not in a place where I should be dating. I expect certain things from the person that I'm going to date. And if I am not willing to be that, I don't see how I can ask for it. I think if I want someone who is kind, loving, giving, mature, or let's say a 10, for example, or maybe a 9. You're a 9 spiritually, physically, mentally. You're a 9. You're a catch. You're a total catch. Financially, then I should be the same, right? I should be a 9 mentally, physically, financially, spiritually. And so because I don't think I'm there yet, it's why I've been so resistant to dating, one. Now that I'm feeling more comfortable in my own skin, happy, grateful for where life is going, my healing, I feel like it's coming to a place where I'm ready to explore. Like, I love myself enough to explore other people. At the same time, now it's like, well, I also have to think about my son. I don't believe in bringing anyone to my son's space, because that's not something my mom ever did. So I am not willing to do that. And some people say, oh, you're thinking too far ahead. And I'm like, yeah, maybe I am. But at the end of the day, I know for a fact that being a mom is my number one priority, and protecting my child is the number one priority. So like, at the same time, I don't think it's fair for the other person, because I'm not really letting them in. That's one of the walls I've developed since I became a mom. And I'm okay with it. I'm proud of it. I'm not ashamed of it. I just do understand that it's probably not fair to the other person. So therefore, why would I date anyone if I'm not ready to let them in? Kind of thing. I do know that there's a lot of other women that it's easier for them, and they're okay with dating, and they're okay with bringing their kids around the person they're dating. And I respect that decision, but that's just not me. That's not something that I feel comfortable enough doing. What I will say is that I do find myself, this is even hard to say, because for so long I've been so proud of being a lesbian and being open about my coming out story and my sexuality, that now that I am at this place in my life, like, I do find myself more attracted to men. It's a weird attraction. It's a different attraction that I've never necessarily felt before. Growing up, even when I dated my exes, like, I don't think I was ever that attracted to them as somehow I find myself now that I'm older, attracted to that masculine side. And I mean, if there's a psychologist out there that could help me understand this, please reach out, because I do want to understand what it is. And the only comfort that I have is that the only constant thing is change. I genuinely catch myself being more attracted to men. I hope my lesbian community doesn't kick me out, because I did have a friend be like, oh my God, are you not a lesbian? And I was like, I honestly don't know how to answer that. Like, I don't know how to answer that. I love women. There are certain things that being in a relationship with a woman gives me, and I don't think any man could ever do that or satisfy that need. However, I do understand that there's a different weird attraction or weird connection that I've lately felt with men. So I don't know if it's the fact that I had a son. I don't know if it's the fact that I'm a mother. I don't understand what it is, but it's there. It's real. It's true. So I'll say that much when it comes to that aspect. But thank God that nowadays everyone is either fluid, pansexual, bisexual, whatever. It's no longer frowned upon. So I'm gonna go with that. I'm fluid right now. I'm learning myself all over again. I'm discovering new things that perhaps I didn't like before that I like now. And I am not trying to guilt trip myself into a square or a box or anything. When I was younger, I didn't want to be trapped into a certain box and I rebelled against it. And so now I don't want to be trapped into a box. And not that necessarily I'm rebelling against it, but I'm more like okay with me and maybe exploring that. When I've been in a relationship with a girl, I'm very giving, I'm very kind, I'm like super in, like all my attention goes to them versus I feel like for a second I kind of want to take a step back and just be a little bit more in my feminine energy and just be taken care of. Who knows? Maybe that's what it is. Like I said, I don't know. I don't really understand it. I don't really know. But I'm just wanting to be honest. And maybe I am just having a Tina moment after Beth cheated and she had a child. I honestly don't know. The only consolation is that Tina comes back to play for our side. So who knows? It might be my L word moment. For those of you that you know, then there you go. Other than that, I don't know. Help me explain it. But at the end of the day, it might just be part of my healing journey. And if that's part of my healing journey, then let's explore it. Let's see where this goes. And I will definitely keep you guys updated when it comes to this topic, because money and sex are two very hot topics. I don't even want to say tabooed because they're not. The more we talk about them, the more we explore them, the more we can grow, and the more we can learn from each other. Thank you once again for staying here to the end of the episode. I love you all so, so very much. We do have a new Instagram. Finally, it's Unicorns Do Exist Pod. Please follow, like, subscribe, share all these episodes with someone you love so that we can continue spreading the message and healing each other one by one. So thank you once again. Thank you for being here. Thank you for staying to the end. And if you want to let me know what you think, share your thoughts, or just simply like my post, follow me at Unicorns Do Exist Pod. That's Unicorns Do Exist POD all together. Because remember, unicorns are real. You're listening to one. Bye. Yeah.